Transcendence to Alakot, Pallad, and others, Yadu, Haida. Perfect. The Lord incarnated himself as Dattatreya, the son of Rishi Archu, and Anasuya. The history of the birth of Dattatreya as an incarnation of the Lord is mentioned in the Brahmananda Purana in connection with the story of his devoted wife. It is said there that Anasuya, the wife of Rishi Atri, prayed before the Lord Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva as follows: "My Lord, if you are pleased with me, and if you desire me to ask from you some sort of blessing, then I pray that you combine together to become my son." This was accepted by the Lords, and as Dattatreya, the Lord expounded the philosophy of the spirit soul, and especially instructed Alaka, Prahlad, Yadu, Om Ajnana Tamibandasya Jana Jinasalaka Yachak Sumaditanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pambor Mamamanda Matir Gati Matsara Svatam Bojo Radha Mahan. So now we're at the sixth incarnation of Dattatreya. It's interesting that his particular name isn't mentioned in the translation. And also, in speaking of it, he's especially instructed Pallad, Yadu. But in those instructions, his name isn't there either. It's quite, because he's an avidut, so he's very avidut that they don't even mention his name. But the Acharyas have explained that the story with Prahlad, how he instructed Prahlad, because we know Prahlad's spiritual master is Narada Muni when he was in the womb. But if you recall, Bhagavatam, when Prahlad was the king and he was traveling around, he came across a generally referring to as Python Yogi, a python man who was lying down. And that python yogi, that is Dattatreya. So that's why it's mentioned here. And then the other one, which is mentioned here, is Yadu. So who remembers where that's mentioned? Because they got Krishna, 11th canto, 11th canto, chapter 7, 8, 9, and 7, 8, 9, those three chapters, which we'll go over a little bit, too, there. Do you remember chapter 7, 8, 9? Anybody remember? Okay, that's the beginning of the Uddhava Gita, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, and he gives a story of this Avadhut Brahmin. That's generally how he's referred to, the Avadhut Brahmin. And in that story, the main thrust of it is the 24 gurus. So, a little just about the bringing into presence context is the living entities, specifically devotees, Ado Shraddha. Prabhupada uses this verse from Rupa Goswami in his Bhagavad Gita, and he gives a translation to Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Bhajana Kriya, Tata Anartan Kriti, Sat Tato Nishta Ruchi Tata Ashaktas, Ashaktas Tato Bhava Tata Prema. So this, in the beginning, there's a preliminary desire for self-realization. That's how Prabhupada uses the word shraddha, which is generally referred to as faith, but it's specifically here mentioned. And so more or less all of us have that preliminary desire, and that desire includes understanding there's something else. It says desire for self-realization, so that means we're understanding there's something different. That's a graduation from, in this world, we're distracted. That's the, because actually after understanding that there's self-realization, we want to understand more. So we associate with devotees, we're following the process, and for most of us, we've accepted that there's a goal of life. This prema is the goal of our life. We've accepted that. However, I don't know if it may just be me, but I can get distracted. Does anybody ever get distracted from concentration on Krishna? So that distracting potency, where is it coming from? And what is it doing? It's causing us to forget practically everything in a moment. And it can happen with a glance. Bhagavad Gita 260 and is it 260? There's two of those verses. They're almost the same. Where any one of the senses that the mind focuses on can carry away a man's intelligence instantly. Just like a strong wind can carry away a boat. So we find ourselves in this situation that this material energy we've understood is Krishna's inferior energy. It manifests, 727, that the living entities are born into this delusion, overcome by desire and hate. So the senses, they distract us back into the bodily conception of life. And the Lord, he comes again and again because no one can get out of this influence of this distracting nature. And we've understood that if you pursue what you're being attracted to in this material world by your senses, the result is birth, death, old age, and disease. And we say those kind of as birth, death, old age, and disease. It's rather easy to say. But we're practically always in anxiety. There's Vaikuntha and there's Kunta. So this world is a place of anxiety. So we're recognizing that we need a shelter. There's always some distress. And I'm Hari Hari Pappale. Not as much as I'm going to do. That this world, it's like a burning fire. But we're attracted to it. What creature does that? Who knows what other creature does it? A moth. Oh, okay. Actually, he's one of our, he's one of the 24 gurus. It's this moth. What does the moth get attracted to? The fire. And then if you ever left your porch light on, and it wasn't a yellow bulb, you come by the next morning, there's always a little pile of dead bugs at the bottom, right underneath the light. So this material world, that's the Riya Granthi, is not of how the senses and the sense objects are, I think it was yesterday's class, very nicely explained how, do these senses and sense objects ever stop being attracted to one to another? How did you say it there? Yesterday, Mother Manavati, it was a question by Mother Devahuti. Oh, yes. Okay. So it was a very good question by Mother Devahuti, is how is it, if one is attracted to the other, can it ever stop? So we're in the distress condition, and even though we've been practicing for many, many years, most of us, we can still see that attraction for the different objects. You walk by a bakery, you know what bakeries use? They have an exhaust fan. So people don't walk much anymore, but when you used to walk by a bakery, they blow out the smell of the cooking of either fresh bread or some donuts or sugar with, and you can watch, if you're a bystander, you can watch people walk by and they get a sniff or two of that, and then they kind of slow down, then they stop, and then they turn and go in to go get something. So that's actually each one of the senses are listed in different ways. Music, who remembers who gets captured by music? Remember the deer, the flute, hunters will play a flute, and then how about taste? Who gets hooked by taste? The fish. So every one of our senses captures us one way or another. So we're needing a shelter. We understand that we're trapped by this bodily conception of life. It's always, once again, giving us this. So there needs to be a process by which one can come to the goal. And they have Sanskrit words for everything. And the goal is called sadhya. That's the perfect goal. And what will deliver you to that perfect goal is called sadhana. So we practice different sadhana. Sadhana is based on one particular, is it a verse or an idea? What's the verse that one should always remember Krishna? And what else should you do? Never forget Krishna. So this is our sadhana. To always remember Krishna. So Krishna comes in different times, in different ways. Every one of these incarnations, they come to teach or attract us to the different ideas. So in this particular one, I'm just going to read a little bit about how it was introduced, just like following the format from yesterday. We're understanding how the questions and answers and how it's introduced. So here in the 11th canto, chapter 7, Lord Krishna begins his instructions to Uddhava. Uddhava says, first when he addresses Krishna, he always there's a certain etiquette. Well, actually, etiquette's very important because we can see that's another story that I can bring up a little bit later. This is Krishna talking about Dhanatreya. But how about Lord Chaitanya? Did Lord Chaitanya ever express the teachings of Dhanatreya? Actually, he did. But it's an unusual way. That brings us to a... All right, since I introduced that idea, I'll present it. Who can think of where Lord Chaitanya was a little baby and he was crawling, and he crawled over to some pots, old cooking pots, the broken pile of old cooking pots. And there he was, and his mother came out. And what do mothers do when they see kids playing with old cooking pots? He's getting soot and stuff on him. She immediately said, don't play in such a dirty, contaminated place. Now, Dhanatreya, he taught a particular philosophy, this avidut sannyas type of philosophy, which sees Krishna in everything. And so, Lord Chaitanya responded with Dhanatreya's philosophy that how can you say it's impure? Didn't it come from Krishna? And isn't Krishna the supreme pure? So how can anything that comes from Krishna be impure? Of course, his mother, she didn't accept that. She grabbed her hand and brought him out to bathe him. But Lord Chaitanya, he also said, wherever I am is also pure. How can I make everything pure? Like we know that the sun can make anything that the sun touches, it purifies. So anyway, that's one place where the philosophy, sometimes it's explained as impersonal philosophy. And you wonder, how is it possible that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, incarnation, can explain impersonal philosophy? There's different times and circumstances, and there's different utilizations. Like we know that Krishna explains Brahma Bhayoka Kopate, Brahma Buddha Prasanama, he sees everything the same. And at that stage, he obtains pure devotional service. So there's different stages. But still, compared to other philosophy, there's an etiquette of what to present. I remember listening to a class one time, and I thought it was so nicely presented. It was explaining how when Lord Chaitanya was embracing Ramananda Roy, there was some smarta Brahmins present. So both Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy had to check their relationship for a minute, what they were letting others see, because it would be misunderstood. So the Lord respects the different levels that people are on and doesn't have an improper saying. And the example of that would be is in the second grade, the children are taught by the teacher that you can't subtract a bigger number from a smaller number. Now the teacher knows that can be done. Everybody else knows it can be done, but they have to learn that at that stage. So, but if someone said, look what that teacher's teaching these kids, that teacher doesn't know anything, it would be an etiquette and an improper. So where was Ramabhuta Prasanatma used in a way that it became an offense? Does anybody remember the story where, even though it's quoting scripture, it actually turned out to be an offense? All right. Ramachandra Puri, Lord Chaitanya, Madhavendra Puri, was getting ready to leave his body, and he was meditating on Radha and Krishna, and he was in the mood of apparently Daniel here, Ananda Moya. He's always in bliss, but there he doesn't. He's in Vipulanda Seva. So in this mood of Vipulanda Seva, lamenting, thinking about Radha and Krishna and Prema, his disciple quoted this verse to him. Even though it is a bona fide verse, it's time, place, and circumstance. So there's the tattva and the rasa, but it may have been, in one sense, partially correct, but it was incomplete, showing his incomplete understanding of the rasa tattva. And also just etiquette, you don't instruct your spiritual master. So here's, we're back to, those were two little tangents, but I came back to the Uddhava is talking to Krishna, and he says, "My dear Lord, you alone award the results of yoga practice," because that's a very important thing. "And you are so kind, by your influence, you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotees. Thus you are the supreme soul who is realized through yoga, and it is you who are the origin of all mystic power. For my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure of giving up the material world through the process of renunciation," for sannyas. And then it goes on a little bit more. So here it says, "Therefore, O Lord, feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses, I now surrender unto you, because you are the perfect master. You are unlimited, all-knowing, supreme personality of Godhead, whose spiritual abode is Vaikuntha, is free from all disturbances. In fact, you are known as Narayan, the true friend of all living beings." So this is how he's requesting Krishna. So we see quite a similarity to yesterday's also about his distress. He says, feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses. So this is generally a transitional stage in the soul's development, that there's karmis and there's jnanis. So the karmi, he's trying to enjoy this world and more or less being defeated all the time. You know, he thinks, okay, I'm going to do this for happiness. Prahlad Maharaj says, when you begin your, we talked about this yesterday, anyway, when you begin your activities for happiness, you actually begin your process of distress. So the two are hooked together. But the karmi, he gets a lot of encouragement. At first you don't succeed, try again. You know, just do it, you know. So without any intelligence, one is endeavoring in this material world over and over again, only to meet defeat, distress, continually. But it takes some amount of time to get that realization. Because our nature is to be happy, and we're in this material world. So we see activities, this divine energy of mine, Krishna says in 7:14, this divine energy of mine. So this material energy, it's being projected on us and we're falling for it. He's directing the wanderings of all living entities. We're constantly being going after this illusion of happiness. And we get an example of a deer and a desert and a mirage. And the mirage, as you know, it looks just like a substance, like water. But it doesn't have, in fact, it has almost everything that water has. It has the attractive potency, has the appearance potency. It's just missing the substance potency and the satisfaction. So this material world, it looks has the attractive potency, has the appearance potency, but it doesn't have the substance. So the deer runs after the mirage, thinking that this will bring him happiness. And the nature of a mirage is it keeps moving farther and farther, retreats. So as the deer goes farther and farther into the desert, ultimately the way the analogy goes is that he dies. So in this world, we go after that. So another smarter one would notice he's just dying. He's not actually getting the happiness that he thought he was going to have. What's going on here? Atato brahmajignas. So that's the beginning of this understanding of what's going on here. What is this? So he's feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses. Those are strong words. Okay. So then Krishna starts to respond. Supreme Lord replied, so he's responding to him, and he says, generally, those human beings who can expertly analyze the actual situation of this material world are able to raise themselves from an inauspicious life of gross material gratification. So, we're supposed to have our intelligence analyze this. So, situation in the material world, like the mirage in the desert. And Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 8 to 12, in the process of knowledge, it says the philosophical search for the absolute truth. So, what is philosophy? Is a Greek word, it meant truth, love for truth. And in Sanskrit, it's generally translated as darshan, tattva darshan, to understand, to understand what's actually being seen here. So we have to, we're recognizing what it is. So in this particular set, series of instructions, I'll read the next verse. An intelligent person, expert in perceiving the world around him and applying sound logic, can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. Thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. And this is Dattatreya's teachings, how everything can be your spiritual master, your own body, the Eden. It's just coming up. Yeah, I can skip to that. I'll read a couple more because they're also wonderful. In the human form of life, those who are self-controlled, expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya, can directly see me along with my potencies. So in other words, we can see Krishna. Right now, we're being trained to always be able to see Krishna in his different and his different potencies. Just by submissive hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one gets to distinguish reality from illusion. So what is reality? You can't have reality without Krishna. He is the reality. So we're getting to see the reality and the illusion. What is that? Actually, side by side, if we quote the Sri Upanishad, that only to those who can see the process of nescience, how this material world works, that the body made up of its, I think yesterday we mentioned 24 elements and listed them, and how they interact to cause samsara. So in the morning, part of our sadhana is the first word that we say when we see the deities, it's samsara, dava, anavida, loka. We understand this is our perspective. Sadhana, especially the morning program, is a reset button. You know, reset, sometimes you have to reboot your phone or your computer. So every morning when you wake up, you turn on your consciousness again. It was just exposed to Thomas Guna for 6-8 hours, and we have to reset. So our morning program is specifically engineered to reset us back into Brahma-Bhuta stage, that we're not this body, we're in the material world, it's a very precarious condition, padam padam, napati padam. There's danger to every step, because how easy is it to get distracted? And I know that we come up with questions regularly about that. You come up, you mentioned question. How can we do, remember Krishna, and still carry out our prescribed activities? So we have so many activities and not get distracted. How's that? Of course, Krishna does say that in 8:7. Sarveshu, was it Kaleshu?
Tasmat Sarveshu.
Tasmat, therefore, with your mind fixed on me, your intelligence dedicated to me, you can do it. So we have a process, just like the answer to yesterday's question was, devotional service. You do it as Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you're doing, do it as an offering. So if you do it as an offering, immediately you're doing it nicer. I go to the prison on Saturday, and they're in a very confined condition that's quite miserable. And one of the inmates that comes to our program, his one of his services they give him jobs to do during the day is he has to rake the yard. So another inmate came up to him and says, "Why are you doing such a good job?" He says, generally they don't do a good job. They're kind of rebellious there. So he says, "I'm doing this as an offering." He says, "Now I'm doing this service now as an offering." And he says, "And I feel very pleased and peaceful by doing this service as an offering. I'm breaking these leaves for Krishna." So we had him learn that verse. And then he learned another verse. He says, and he said the whole verse the next time he came in. He says, one should know what is binding and what is liberating, what is right from wrong. I forgot, 1830, I get the number. He had the whole verse. So I'm always appreciative that he's been coming for like a month. I've been coming for 45 years, but he knew the whole verse. I got the number. I learned so much from that. So, and then in this way, he's learning how to apply this Krishna consciousness and not be distracted. In one sense, their distractions there are not the kind that you easily get attached to. Where, in some sense, I mentioned to him, I said, "You have so many nice facility here because there's hardly anything to become attracted to. You naturally want to apply. It's very easy to be austere here." He says, "Well, I'm so glad that you like it. We can see if we can get you a cot." And at that time, I thought of the demigods. And I was thinking, boy, it's really good to take birth on the Earth planet. You know, there's not so much sense gratification. Your life is really short. He says, so if you say, "Well, why don't you come here?" Well, we don't find that very many demigods are appearing nowadays in Kali Yuga. They don't particularly come. So that's what I thought. Yes, it's a very good opportunity. But of course, Prabhupada being so expert, he says, make the best use of a bad bargain. So whatever situation we're in, there's going to be distracting challenges. How not to be distracted? There's I've got a couple of nice verses. So there's, because we're instructed to always think of Krishna, always chant the holy name, Kirtanya Sadhari, Ahoyataki Apatiyata, uninterrupted. So there's the same terminology, well, the same idea is being presented with many different words, uninterrupted, always, constantly, regularly. So Here's some of the instructions that I found, and then I'll see if I can get back to this. Because what it is that we're trying to recognize. So one of the verses from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita says, some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, others through cultivation of knowledge, and still others by working without fruitive desires. So there's one stage that we want to be able to always be connected with Krishna. We want to always see. And he points at that, points out, that for one who sees his super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind and thus approaches the transcendental destination. So this is the method, one method that's being explained here by Krishna to Arjuna, to that you can perceive this nature. And in one sense, we can say it's the will of Krishna, it's Krishna's potency, because my next class is going to be on the 7th when the children are present. So I was trying to think of something about for the children, and I was saying that there's an invisible force. There's a force that's existing everywhere that is very solid, and it's more powerful than we are. And it will correct us or punish us or reward us for what we do. But you can't see it. Where is this? And we're learning. And in fact, all different religions, they talk about it in different ways. Some call it the laws of God, the laws of nature. That there's an invisible force that's existing everywhere, all the time. That's sometimes, like, if you want to be a thief, you have to pretend it's not there. Just like if you went into if you were a thief and you went into a store to steal something and you saw there was a security camera. So you look at the camera and you see what scope it has. So then you move to another area and you look to see, oh, there's a camera here too. Then you go to another spot and say, here's a spot that doesn't have a camera. So you're encouraged. So when one understands the nature of the all-pervasive power and force of Krishna, then naturally he has to give up his lower nature. If you knew that whatever you did, you were going to be caught, how many thieves would do anything if they knew they were going to be caught? They think, I can get away with it. And they're very smart, very elaborate. They come up with all these schemes. But we know, or at least we've been told, that Krishna's system is in place. Nobody gets away with anything. But being so clever, generally you don't get the result to your next body. So you think you got away with it. But then in your next body, if you're lucky enough to get one nowadays, that, because one time Prabhupada was asked, what's the proof, how can one understand previous life? And he says, you can just tell by this life. So Yesha Devi Prabhupada here, if you're understanding that, just like in Bhagavad Gita 12:13, it says, if someone is acting as your enemy, it was because of something in your previous life. Better to suffer than to protest. You know, and we had Christianity, Christmas, turn the other cheek, because if you get entangled in action and reaction, you'll just create more material existence for you. So, all right. Here's the point I was trying to get to, where we come in. So we don't always see the super soul present, but Krishna gives us a blessing. Again, there are those who, not conversant with the spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing from him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, They also transcend birth and death. So even though we have this preliminary understanding or desire for self-realization, we understand we don't know so much, and we can see that we can get distracted. So here's one of this has kind of siddhanta in it. So I'm going to, it has stages. Because we're always to remember Krishna. So here's Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction, text 8. He says, in the neophyte stage, which is for the most part we like that, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Das, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can obtain to the stage of acceptance called Varana Das. When one obtains a stage, he becomes attached to hearing Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he obtains a stage of Smarana Vastha, the stage of remembering. So we also know remembrance. I've got it memorized, but I wrote it down. It says, from the Nectar of Devotion, some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. So this remembrance. About remembrances are nice statements. Simply by remembering the Supreme Person of Godhead, all living entities become eligible for all auspiciousness. So this remembrance, so even though we're remembering, we're still being distracted. Oh, like me. So I was going to finish this one paragraph, if I can. Okay. The Varana Das, when one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing Krishna Katha and chant ecstasy. Comes to the stage of remembering. And this remembering, this is also called smaranam, it's also called meditation. So here's how remembering is broken down too. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna smaranam. So, and then Prabhupada says it again in other words. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals. That part we can identify with quite easily. One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fall in the Maya. And then Prabhupada corrected him. He said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall to Krishna. So, like that. So in the beginning, remembrance is interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance becomes uninterrupted. What happens when it's uninterrupted? When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or trance. After smaranam das or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called Sampatti Das, the perfection of life. So, this is, we can understand, like when you use a map, you know where you're going, you know how to read the map, but you also have to see where you are on the map, so you know what your turns are. So in this way, we're running out of time, I was going to just go to text 33 through 35 of the 11th canto, chapter 7, and this was the teachings that Dattatreya gave to Yadu. And we know Yadu, he's the son of Yayanti, the good, the son of, he was the good son. His father had a situation that he was old, and he asked his three sons, will you trade your old age, your youth for my old age? What do you think? Who would like to trade their youth for their old age? In fact, they had this one movie, 18 Again, where an 18-year-old and 81, they were grandson and a grandfather, and they, somehow or other, they switched. It was a birthday, they blew out the candles, and they switched positions. The 18-year-old took the body of the 81, and the 81 took the body of the 18. It made a very interesting movie, what it would be like. My mother used to say that youth is wasted on the young, that how nice it would be to be old with the intelligence of the, to be young with the intelligence of being old. Sometimes you see that. We're just reading this morning from the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that you pick up where you left off. We're talking about Raghu's son, who's 6 years old, is teaching himself Sanskrit in Devanagari, and he's teaching his father, Raghu. So we're picking up where you left. It says being attracted and all these qualities. So sometimes when you're young, you still get the blessings of. So these 24 items. Here's what he advised me. I'll read the verse right before. The Brahmin said, this Brahmin we know now is Dattatreya, said, my dear king, with my intelligence I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander around the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. So, there's a, explain it sometimes with a particular mentality. Krishna can speak to you through everything, Chaita Guru. So he says, O king, I have taken shelter 24 gurus who are the following: the earth, that's easy to find, the sky, the air, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon, python, the sea, moth, we talked about the moth earlier, honeybee, elephant, and honey thief, the deer, the fish, we discussed the fish a little too, the prostitute, Pingala, she gets a whole chapter. Pingala, that they really had a nice story about Pingala because she represents there's so many things that she represented, but she was a prostitute, and it has, we visited what it was like to be inside her mind for a night, an unproductive night materially. But it acted in such a way that it developed a mood of detachment in her, and from that detachment, she felt quite liberated and happy. And the kurar, bird, the child, the young girl, the arrow maker, the serpent, the spider, and the wasp. My dear king, by studying their activities, I have learned the science of the self. So, in every situation, when one has a particular mood, this is Dattatreya. Of course, he's an incarnation of Krishna. He's a direct incarnation, which I also had statement where it says that Brahma and Shiva are not direct incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are indirect incarnations. We consider the Lord has different grades of incarnation, some direct, others indirect. This is explained in the best of the scriptures. Among various grades of incarnations of guna avatars, Shiva and Brahma are accepted. Guna avatars, Shiva and Brahma are accepted different from the Supreme Lord. Dattatreya is counted among the direct incarnation, but Shiva and Durvasa Muni are counted amongst. But Shiva and Durvasa Muni are not counted among direct incarnations. So here we have Krishna, and he's explaining how not to be distracted by having this mentality that one can see Krishna instructing him through everything. So this material nature, this divine nature, wants the mentality, the rest of that 714, that it's easily crossed over by one who surrenders to Krishna. So by surrendering to the instructions of these 24 gurus of Dattatreya, one can easily not get influenced by the Maya aspect of the senses and sense objects. I thank you for your kind attention, and I'll stop there if there's questions or comments or criticisms or reflections. Hopefully it was something useful today. We have nature to be distracted, but we shouldn't be. We should be very serious about always remembering Krishna. And in fact, if you try to remember Krishna and a distraction comes, it gets silhouetted to show you what weeds are growing in our garden. And the process of pulling the mind back to thinking about Krishna in a surrendered, fully conscious mood is the process of pulling the weeds out of the garden. That's another analogy that Chaitanya used with Rupa Goswami. But try to remember Krishna and see how long it'll happen before some distracted, important activity. I think Bhurajan Moy pointed out in his Japa book that every time a distraction comes, it comes as like, this is really important. You got to stop right now whatever you're doing and think about this. But he said it's not. In fact, if you don't listen to it in about 2 seconds, you forgot the whole thing anyway. Yes, sir.
The meaning of the
oh, yes. You speak into the microphone. That way we can all hear you.
That means I am giving myself. When Krishna chose Mother Anasuya in her test, this is a long story.
Thank you.
I'm not giving everybody else. So Krishna says, I will give myself. So that's called datta.
Oh, to give yourself is called datta.
Datta. And then prayer means, then you'll be delivered, and anybody here, this pastor will be delivered. Prayer means deliver.
So giving yourself to his mother, and then
I'm giving myself. It's a tattva prayer. Now you will be delivered, and anybody hears this will be delivered also. But you have to hear the pastor. It's a long pastor, and half an hour. But you can read it.
Where are we going to read it?
Brahmana.
Where do you get one of those? Well, you'll have to be a representative to speak to us sometime. Thank you very much. All glory is God. Hare Krishna.
tabaka samatha.
My wife still says that the sound is not good for the computer. Didn't just have the assistance outdated?
The only one who knows how to correct it is Mons.